Jaya Gopi Janna Vallava, Jaya Giribara Dhari, Jaya Giribara Dhari, Gopi Janna Vallava, Jaya Giribara Dhari, Jaya Giribara Dhari, Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana. Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banna Chhari, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Jamuna Tira Banna Chhari, Jaya Jamuna Tira Banna Chhari, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Ratha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Ratha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Vishnupat, Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya, Ashtotarashata Shishimadhi, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupat, Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya, Ashtotarashata Shishimadhi, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Karantara Shrimam Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishiguru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, text number 3. Sacha Hambita Lobhena Pratyachakshe Katandvijam Pratishrutya dadamiti प्राराधिकितयो यथा सचाहं वितलोभेन प्रत्याचक्षे कतं द्विजम् प्रतिश्रुत्या ददामीति प्राराधिकात्कीतयो यथा सचाहं वित्तलोभेन प्रत्याचक्षे कतं द्विजम् प्रतिश्रुत्या ददामीति प्राराधिकीतयो यथा. Please chant. प्रतिश्रुत्या कतादीनि प्रारधिकितवो यथा सः. Such a person as I am, cha, also, aham, I am, vittalobhena, for being allured by greed for money, pratyachakshe, I should cheat or say no when I have already said yes. Katam, how? Dvijam, especially to a brahmana. Pratishrutya, after already having promised. Dadami, that I shall give. Iti, thus, praradhihi, I who am famous as the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad, Kitabaha, an ordinary cheater, Jatha, just like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money, when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a brahmana? Purport. Bali Maharaj has already been blessed by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was a pure devotee, although born in a family of demons. There are two kinds of highly elevated devotees, called Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Sadhana Siddha refers to one who has become a devotee by regular execution of the regulated principles mentioned in the Shastras, as ordered and directed by the spiritual master. If one regularly executes such devotional service, he will certainly attain perfection in the course of time. But there are other devotees who who may have not undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who, by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead, have immediately obtained the perfection of pure devotional service. Examples of such devotees are the Yajñapatnis, Maharaj Bali, and Sukadev Goswami. The Yajñapatnis were the wife of ordinary brahmanas engaged in fruitive activities. Although the brahmanas were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram, whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service despite their being women. Similarly, Vairochani Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, and by Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, he also received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, who appeared before him as a brahmachari beggar. Thus, Bali Maharaj became a Kripa Siddha because of the special mercy of both Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this favor, Guru Krishna Prasadapai Bhakti Lata Bij. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19.151. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of devotional service, and when that seed developed, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that service, namely, love of Godhead. Prema Pumarto Maham. Immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion for the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of unalloyed love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I should give this little dwarf brahmana whatever he asks from me. This is a sign of love. Thus Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who received the highest perfection of devotional service by a special mercy. Satchaham vittalobhena pratya chakshe katandvijam pratishutya dadamiti praradhi kitabojata. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I should give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a brahmana? Om ajnana timirandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya utale shimate romapada swamiti. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya utale shimate bhakti vedanta swamin iti namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatavine, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. It's a wonderful part of the pastime, and the highlight of Bali Maharaj's character in this chapter is brought up to the forefront, and is extremely glorious, but it's also for us is a great source of inspiration and also of instructions. It's a very sensitive issue and very grave, this situation which Bali Maharaj have to make a choice and act. In the previous verses, I think the first verse of this chapter, Prabhupada elaborates on this position that Bali Maharaj was to face, which was to reject his spiritual master. And how he actually was very grave about it. He actually sort of thought very carefully about this choice because it was a turning point. And the basis of his choice was his understanding of the goal of life. And this understanding of the goal of life he received by the blessings of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. And thus, the very important part of the topic of highlight the what is Prabhupada highlighting in the purport. So, in the previous verse, Shukacharya, or actually in the previous chapter, Shukacharya gave, you know, these arguments why he should not fulfill this promise. He should not pursue in fulfilling this promise. And the core of the argument was that he was going to break the religious principles that of a householder. You know, in Vanashram Dharma, religiosity for a householder, you should be in a concerned with these four goals of life: dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and mukti, liberation. So one have to very carefully try to execute one's duties and fulfill these four goals of religiosity. And it's in the Shastras. So Shukacharya is telling Bali Maharaj, you cannot do something that will go against these principles of religion. So if you're going to give all you have, then how can you fulfill these principles of religion? If you're going to give, because this is not an ordinary Brahmana, this is Vishnu who have come in disguise to take everything away from you. So you're being a fool, actually. More than a fool, you're a rascal. He was chastised by Shukacharya. Because you're going to give all the means that you have to perform your duties. So how are you going to maintain? How are you going to perform? So how are you going to have, if you have nothing, if you're poverty stricken, if you're going to lose all your fame and all your opulence, how are you going to perform your religious duties of giving in charity, in performing sacrifices like that? How are you going to do all that? If you give all your opulence and all your the things that you have worked so hard for and you achieve after so much difficulties, then how are you going to do all these things? Then you have no religiosity, no economic development, no sense gratification. So you're actually doomed. There actually won't be any liberation for you. So that was his argument. And then Shukacharya started to give all kinds of technical reasons within the Shastras how to rationalize to break your promise. So he basically says that, okay, so here's one. You don't have to fulfill the promise if you don't say Om. So, you know, we have a fun time listening to Nityananda Prana, you know, giving his, when he gave his class about this particular verse, you know, all these sort of like lawyers do, they find a loop in the codes of law and then rationalize how to be a cheater. So usually politicians and lawyers and people in power, they find loops, you know, so you can avoid paying taxes if you do like this, or you can, you know, you can go away and do these different things. Now you can basically cheat according to the law. So if you don't say Om before promising something, then it's not valid. And then also the scriptures say that in order to protect your interest, you can lie. So if you have something, so you know, he finds all these different obscure codes that are there, and then, you know, you take it out of context and you say, here, you know, we can do it. Sometimes we as devotees sometimes do like that, the Prabhupada said thing. Yeah, so Prabhupada said that XXX, so then we can do like that. So, but Bali Maharaj, he was thoroughly educated, and he have received his lineage. He have a connection to one of the most exalted devotees in the history of, you know, this in this universal history, Prahlad Maharaj. So he understood. He says, in the previous verse, he says that he agrees that, let me see, the verse, just a Saturday verse, right? He said, Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. So there's nothing wrong with that. So what is the incorrect thing? What is the thing that Maharaj Bali is rejecting, and is the basis of Maharaj Bali's rejection to Sukracharya? And what is Sukracharya's misconception? Any thought? That Sukracharya is saying, his argument to Maharaj Bali, why he should reject or not fulfill his promise, is that he's going to break these religious principles of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And Maharaj Bali, it says that I agree that following this religious principle is the correct thing to do. So they agree in that. But Maharaj Bali is going to reject Sukracharya on the basis of what? Then what is the thing that is... See, you have this reason that Sukracharya is... But there's something wrong about it in the way he's understanding that principle. Yeah.
Well, there's two reasons that come to mind. One is Bali Maharaj himself explicitly states in this chapter that by not fulfilling my promise to this brahmachari, that in itself is violating these principles you're claiming to stand for. Secondly, that brahmachari Vamanadeva is the Supreme Lord himself. And by following Bhagavad Dharma, you're actually fulfilling all religious principles.
So. Yeah, yeah. So it is. Those are the reasons that Bali Maharaj quotes. Adding to that, I'm thinking that in terms of having the proper conception of duty, of all the things, like I've reached something that I read during the Bhakti Riksha program last Saturday. We read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, and it's the last verse of the fourth chapter, Transcendental Knowledge. And then the purport, Prabhupada says something extremely interesting that actually summarizes. That is, you have all the things that are given in the Vedas. What makes all those instructions progressive is one principle. And if you miss that principle, it's going to make all those instructions incorrect. It will take you south. So what is that principle? I think I read it to you. And then, Prabhupada's purport. The verse is 442. The translation is, therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharat, stand and fight. So, transcendental knowledge is necessary to cut all the doubts that we have into our heart. And then, once we have transcendental knowledge, then Krishna ordered Arjuna, then now go and do your duty, your worldly duties, and fight. So, fighting or doing your worldly duties with the weapon of transcendental knowledge is the combination that guarantees, you know, that is a proper execution of your duties. So, Prabhupada comments. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifice to the demigods. Check this out. This is Prabhupada. You can awake Krishna consciousness by sacrificing to the demigods. It's in the Vedas. So they give in this type, and then hear more. So I read the whole thing. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods. Sacrifices to Brahman, the impersonal. Sacrifice in celibacy. In household life. In controlling the senses. In practicing mystic yoga. In penance. In foregoing material possessions. In studying the Vedas. And in partaking of the social institution called Vanashram Dharma. So you have all these different types of things, these different instructions and guidance for different peoples in different levels that are given in the Vedas. And they all awaken Krishna consciousness. How is that? Well, here Prabhupada concludes. All of these are known as sacrifice. And all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. So, but one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. So, the goal of life, when the goal of life is clear, the goal of life is self-realization. The goal of life is self-realization. So, self-realization, when you to have understanding of the goal of life, one have to have transcendental knowledge. One have to receive transcendental knowledge to have to understand that the goal of life is self-realization. Otherwise, what is the contrary? The goal of life will be Indriya Priti. Sutta Goswami, you know, breaks it down in you know, Divinity and Divine Service, chapter 2 of canto 1, that if it's not self-realization, it will be sense gratification. So if we do Dharma, Artha, and Kama for the purpose of your self-interest, self-realization, then it's irreligiosity. You're breaking the whole thing. It's not gonna, you know, it's gonna lead you to sinful life. If you do Dharma, Artha, and Kama, and Moksha for the purpose of self-realization, then you're gonna reawaken your Krishna consciousness. So the element that is necessary there is transcendental knowledge. And how you receive that transcendental knowledge? Guru Krishna Prasadapai, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And this is what is highlighted. Bali Maharaj received from Prahlad Maharaj. So the case of Bali Maharaj, he says, I am the grandson of the great Prahlad Maharaj. That's his lineage. And he have received the kripa and the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj. And as such, he's protected as long as he holds to the mercy or the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. And the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj was to always satisfy that, you know, that the goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Ata pumbir dvijashestas banashraya vivagasa. Samsinhin haritoshanam. That the goal of all our the goal of all our dharma or our occupational activities or our religious activities, the goal of that is just to satisfy the personality of Godhead, and that's the principle. But you receive that through transcendental knowledge, and transcendental knowledge you receive by receiving the mercy of the spiritual master. Sorry. Krishna makes it very clear how transcendental knowledge descends, evam parampara pratan, how you receive it, tad vidhi paripratena pariprasnena shevayan. You approach a spiritual master, and the spiritual master, being pleased upon you, he bestows transcendental knowledge. And with the weapon of transcendental knowledge, you're able to perform whatever you do in this world, it will be for the purpose of self-realization. You're being guided in the purpose of self-realization. So that is the bona fide path. Now, this is one of those rare cases in which the spiritual master becomes deviated from the path of self-realization. And Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Mahabharata in the previous purport. Gurur api abaliptasya karya karyan ajanata upatha padipanasya parityago vidilyate. So, Guru Tyaga, we went through that in our disciple course, right? Guru Tyaga means rejecting a fallen guru. What do you do in those cases and how you protected in those cases? And the same principle applies to any one of us. If one is found in the unfortunate position of that the spiritual master falls from his position of, you know, guru, what do you do and how you save yourself? Well, just like Bali Maharaj were the grandsons of a great personality, of a great, you know, exalted personality, were the grandsons of Srila Prabhupada. He's our Param Guru. And similarly, we are in his lineage. So similarly, by thoroughly understanding Prabhupada's teachings, we're protected. We always be protected. We always be, first of all, you can recognize when something is not appropriate. You know, and then, because you're well versed in the teachings, you can recognize, and then you have the position that you can reject, you can actually perform this Guru Tyaga. Prabhupada says in a letter to Chidananda, please always try to remember me by my teachings and we should always be together. Just like I have written in the first publication of the Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions and the disciple lives with him. Because I have always served my Guru Maharaj and follow his teachings, I am now even never separated from him. Sometimes Maya may come and try to interfere, but we must not falter. We must always follow the chalked out path laid down by the great acharyas. And in the end, you will see. So that's a protective measure, similarly. And so we, Bali Maharaj, have the right understanding. The right understanding of the Dharma or the religious principles, how to follow religious principles for the purpose, how to live your life for the purpose of self-realization. And this is very beautifully explained like by Sutta Goswami. I never tire of going through in one sense because, you know, it's repetition to, you know, always remember these instructions because they're very relevant for, at least, you know, I see it for myself and for most of us. How the whole thing works in terms of performing your duties in the world, how to live in the world and be connected and have the proper, be connected to Krishna consciousness and be progressive. So, this Nartor Taryo Pakalpate, that Dharma, Dharmasya Hiya Pavargasya, that Dharma, your occupational duties, everything we do, everything that we do by religious principles, by duty, is meant for liberation. Meaning, it's meant for self-realization. So, then, Narto Ta Yopakalpate, that they should not be performed by material gain. We should not use our occupation, our duties, our religious practices for some material gain. Nartasya dharmai kantasya. That someone who is in this dharma eka antasya. So dharma, your occupation and duties, eka means, you know, you're exclusively focused in this dharma eka antasya, which means the ultimate process of religion, this param dharma. If one is engaged by the kripa, the mercy of the spiritual master, in this supreme process of religion, then kamola bhaja hi smritaha. One should never use the results of this endeavor for sense gratification. One should not cultivate sense gratification. It's not for that purpose. It's for the purpose of self-realization. And then, you know, kamasya nindriya pritir. That life desires should never be directed for sense gratification. But Prabhupada explains in the purport of this verse that as long as we have a body, the body has senses, the senses need some sense gratification. So you have to provide it, otherwise, the body won't function. So there is some requirement. So you should give some sense gratification, but what kind of sense gratification and how? According to this dharmaikantasya, according to that, then the sense gratification is a labojiveta yavata, that it should be done just what is required for self-preservation. So, in other words, it's just regulated. Just exactly what you need for preserving your psychophysical, you know, needs. How do you know that? How do you know how much you require? Usually that question is there. Oh, how do I know how much is required for my... If you're tuned in, you know. Like, you know, someone who is regulated knows, oh, I'm satisfied. You know that line in which you overdoing it. Like with eating, very much happens. You know, when you're eating something, you know that, okay, my hunger is satisfied. But then the tongue goes like, ah, oh, it's so nice. It tastes great. Oh. You know, let me have a little more. Mataji, can I have more? And, you know, and then that point of the extra stuff, we can sense it, that you know, but you know, okay, just give in to the satisfaction of the tongue. We do that. And then later we suffer. Oh, we couldn't sleep. You know, I did that in Houston. I know I cannot eat in the evening because I can sleep. You know, so in the evening, what it works for me is just milk and a liter of something. If I eat a meal, then I can sleep. It always happens like that now at this point. I mean, back then in my early times, you know, I can eat and eat and eat and there was no problem, you know. But now, so they have amazing prasadam in the Houston temple. So they went all the way. So then I'm ready to go, you know, to a place where I was resting. And then, okay, let me see what they was, you know, let me see. Let me see what they have served. And when he goes there, there was this most attractive veggie burgers, you know, and that was made of this slab of, you know, perfectly cut and beautifully presented a curb burger like that. And nice homemade bread, you know, it looks like it was like, you can smell it. And the nice lettuce, you know, and some nice tahini sauce. And it was like, oh, and this beautiful, perfectly fried chips. Like the whole thing was like just irresistible. So I say, no, I must have it. So I got my nice plate and with great happiness just ate the whole thing. And voila, I couldn't sleep. So the next day I was completely miserable. I have to miss the morning, the Mongol Aarti, which was, you know, ended by Shashika Prabhu leading this most amazing Mongol Aarti Kirtan. And, you know, I couldn't go because I couldn't make it. So things happen like that. So you know, but if you a little too thick, we're not yet so tuned in, then the spiritual master help us. He says, okay, here's your regulations. You know, our devotees guide us in regulating our indriya priti, you know, the satisfaction of the senses. So for self-preservation, why? Because what is the purpose then? That we should engage, we should have time to engage in the purpose of understanding the absolute truth. Human life is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Narto jas cheha karma bi. And that is the take-home message for us at all time. That the purpose of life is to understand the absolute truth, self-realization. And everything we do, nothing else should be the result of our work, of everything that we do. So Sutta Goswami concludes to say, yes, that this Samsidhin Haritoshanam, the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, is the purpose of all our works. If it's not like that, then it's a waste of time. It's Srava Eva Hi Kevalam. Then it's just you wasted your life. You wasted your energy, you wasted your work, so it's in the wrong. So Bali Maharaj knew that. He understood the purpose. And when he was told that cheat to preserve your fame, to preserve your position, to preserve your world, lie for that, then he understood that if he does that, he was going to have the whole contrary thing. His fame, everything will be spoiled. Everything will be wasted. Everything will be actually a source of sin and misery. So he rejected. On that basis, on the basis of transcendental knowledge that he received by the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, he rejected his spiritual master Shukracharya. And so it's very instructive. Any comment or questions? Giridhari Prabhu, and then Madhava Gauranga.
Just regarding the sense control, like not going overboard. How Important is it to focus more on the positive than the negation of, like, if you're constantly focusing on controlling your senses and being strict with yourself, I find myself that I lose track of the reason why I'm doing it and I just become miserable.
Yeah.
But if I'm focusing on the positive, then it happens very easily and naturally.
Yeah, very good observation and point. I also agree with that. In fact, my wife and I were discussing about education and the importance of allowing each one of us the space to process what we're doing. So, you know, there is, we're trying to grow in Krishna consciousness, and we're taking, you know, directions and instructions, but we, in order to make it ours, we have to process it. So there is, you know, Krishna allows the space, the spiritual master allows the space, so then we can go. So then we have, you know, provisions, the whole thing of, you know, the first 6 months is up to your neck. That's nothing, doesn't sound like a, you know, a recipe for self-control. But, you know, allows ones to gradually process and process and process. And the natural successions of things is that as you go through the process of devotional service, naturally vairagya and vidya start to, you know, grow. So we just focus on, you know, the positive things, chanting, taking prasadam, associating with the devotees, all the favorable stuff. We make great emphasis. I know my Guru Maharaj, he was very always focusing on fanning whatever quality you had. And he went on, you know, like really, in a very focused manner, just fanning that. And the other things he will correct, but very, very much focus on the things that we naturally incline and very enthusiastically do, keep doing, keep doing, keep doing. And the other things that we have some weakness, just by the purification of doing something very enthusiastically in devotional service, will become naturally, you know, evolve. So I think, I agree. I think it's very important to do it that way. If sometimes you see devotees that are focusing on the rules and regulations, in general, they're very uptight. And sort of like, you know, almost like angry all the time. Or not angry, but, you know, uptight, you know. So they have a little more harder time on that. Yeah.
Hi, Krishna. My question is pertaining to the last question in the verse. At Bali Maharaj, he says, how can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a brahmana? I'm wondering, what does it mean to be a cheater of a brahmana? Or how does, like, why? You know, why is it a bad thing to, I know it's a bad thing to cheat and everything, but why is it especially a bad thing to cheat a brahmana?
Yeah, it's because for a householder, is especially for a kshatriya, the relationship with the kshatriya and a brahmana is a very, very strong relationship. Actually, society, all the other four classes are depending on the brahmana. So the brahmanas for society have to be protected. It's just part of the religious principles. So is those who are giving you transcendental knowledge that you're trying to be dishonest with them is terrible. You know, it's being ungrateful, it's being impersonal, it's being is actually even just to think about it, just like, you know, cringe your body. You know, those who are extending yourself to give you transcendental knowledge, and you lie or cheat them. It's like you go and cheat your spiritual master and lie to them, you know, like that, for the purpose of your, you know, personal benefit. It's terrible. Just to think about it. So, I mean, you think about it and you put yourself in the position of Bali Maharaj. It's like, what are you asking me? I mean, it's like, it's the most heinous thing that he can think, you know. It's like his whole being rejected the whole idea, you know, because he was situated in dharma. So yeah, especially for brahmanas, you know, for others yes, but especially for brahmanas, because is the one who is giving you the means. I think there's a saying of, you know, the dog who bites the hand of the person who's feeding you. You know, that's the most, you know, rejected creature, you know. So, like that. Yes, Prabhu.
How important is it to... I think that it's important to see the adhikar of a person's endeavor in Krishna consciousness, because it is mentioned, you know, kripa siddhi and sadhana siddhi. So when one's basking in the mercy, then it's easy to act on a higher platform. And we can see this in our own devotional life. Sometimes in our devotional life, when we're very much engaged in services, actually we're able to act a little more freely in terms of honoring more prasadam or something. It doesn't seem to affect us. It happens in our devotional life. Whereas on the other hand, the sadhana element is there, and I think it's actually a positive element that when one is experiencing some difficult in spiritual life, that they are focusing on things like sense control and these basics. I think it's actually a positive thing. And it can be powerful. And we can see that though one may be having some difficulty, they're actually practicing by their adhikar. They're looking for some way of addressing that lack of their own devotional life.
Yeah, the trick is that one has to do it, like my Guru Maharaj says, that you have to do it under guidance. You know? Especially as in our development stage, you know, we always under Guru Kripa. So, you know, with guidance, the Guru is the one who sees your adhikari and recommends accordingly. So some of us are inclined for austerities and for sense control, and then Guru just whoosh, fans that and guides, and then that's very progressive. Some of us, you know, it may be artificial, and that will be the end. You know, it will be detrimental. So rather, you know, you guide it in another positive thing. You know, so. We always have to be under guidance. That's the main thing. The difficulty that we face, and sometimes as devotees, is when we want to be independent. We're taking independent responsibility ourselves. And then that's when, in general, we get into trouble. Yeah. Any other thing, Krishna Arjuna?
The section of the purport that you read from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita to Prabhupada's purport, or that little section, he was highlighting that performing one's religious activities where the whole emphasis was on performing activities that have the component of attending to the sense gratification. So if it's, you know, worship to the demigods, for instance. So I guess what I found myself thinking about was Sukracharya. He's actually appears to be within the system, where what he's advising is, you know, how to allow for the sense gratification component with the performance of religious activity. So the point you'd highlighted was that and that came from that little section that you read, was that the purpose of all of that should be self-realization, but if it moved into the self-interest part, then, or the sense gratificatory part exclusively, or that was the purpose, then there was a gliding down into hell, more likely, rather than an elevation of consciousness. So I think what I'm finding myself looking at is Sukracharya understood that there was the problem of any activity done within the religious realm or the allowed realm, that it had the sense gratificatory component attended to, but a person in that position or taking those lower processes may not be fully cognizant of the self-realization aspect anyway, because it's an elevation of consciousness. So in his case, one would take it that as a spiritual master, he is very cognizant of the self-realization component. So it seems almost that one would have to question why he was in the position of being a spiritual master if he's not so cognizant of the self-realization component.
It was the way, you know, it seems, at least, you know, is presented, is that there's a moment of choice that Sukracharya had when his position was, you know, the position that he has as the guru of the controller of the whole universe was going to be compromised. And then, you know, then he have to protect that position against, you know, the higher principle of satisfying Vishnu. So that moment he became fallen. So so far, there are some very interesting things that we remember in the previous, that he was able to give is that the power that he gave to Bali Maharaj by the sacrifices that he arranged for Bali Maharaj were spiritual powers. Remember that, you know, that the Shakti that was developed, you know, by Bali Maharaj that he received was due to the spiritual powers. So he have access to all that, spiritual powers. He didn't say that it was a material boom. It was by the spiritual tejas power. So everything was bona fide to that point, you know. He was there. And Lord Vishnu recognized that. He says, Bali Maharaj is invisible because he received, you know, these spiritual powers. I have to find some other means. It was not, you know, like Hiranyakasipu or Hiranyaksha. You know, he have to find some other means to get the whole thing back, because he have received this spiritual Shakti in terms of power. So Shukracharya had that moment, the fall down is when he decided that no, you know, the principle of satisfying Vishnu is going to compromise, you know, the position that I have. And he was just, you know, telling Bali Maharaj, you're going to compromise the position that you have. But in reality, he was talking about himself. And Bali Maharaj caught him, you know, that, no, this is not what is going to be right for me. This is against the whole thing, you know. So he was able to recognize that. So it was that, the both of them came into that moment of choice. Shukracharya made the wrong choice, Bali Maharaj made the right choice. So that's what happened. And the moral is like, geez, it can happen to, you know. I mean, obviously, Shukracharya was not a pure devotee, you know. Bali Maharaj is explained that by this choice, now he is a Kripasiddha. You know, he achieved pure devotional service. Or it manifested rather than to achieve. It manifested. So that's the difference, in my opinion, in my belief. You know, like that. All right? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.